We thank thee, Father, for thy great love and thy mercy and thy great goodness. We thank thee, Father, for this congregation of thy church. We thank thee for the preaching of the gospel of Christ, too. We pray that you unite us and make us one more and more and more each and every day. Bless us, Father, and keep us that we all be of the same mind, that we go forward to the same goals and have the same desires and aspirations. Our sole goal here, Father, is to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and to take care of the poor. So we pray that you'll bless that and bless the works of our hands here. You've heard our sick and shut-ins, and we pray that you bless them and be with them, that you heal them and raise them up and restore them to good health soon. Return them to us, we pray thee, Father. We pray, Father, a special blessing on Manuel, and we pray that you help him and bless him as he goes to Iraq and give him much fruit that he might tell all that he meets of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Father, we pray for our radio ministry and our internet ministry. We pray that you continue to bless us, Father, and that we might go forward to preach Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to give you a report to the church. If you'd open your Bibles with me to Luke, the 13th chapter. Luke chapter 13, begin reading in verse 6. He spake also this parable unto them. A certain man, God, had a fig tree, Israel, planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And he said to the dresser, I understand this is Jesus, to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years have I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered, Jesus answered, and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, until I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we pray that you would bless us and give us one more year. We pray that you would dig about our roots and that you would dung us and that you would help us and fertilize us and help us that we might bear fruit to the praise and glory of thy Son. Have mercy on us, Father. Guide us and direct us, we pray thee, in Christ's name. Amen. It is scriptural that we give a report to the church. If you'll look with me in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 23, the apostles have been arrested. They've been threatened by the Sanhedrin court, and they began there in verse 23 and let go, and they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So we see that the early apostles came and gave reports to the church. We see in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They received a report on it. We're not told in the Bible how they got that report, but they received a report on it. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14, verse 27. When they had come, they gathered the church together and rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And if you'll look with me now in Acts chapter 21, beginning in verse 19. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him. And so we see that giving a report on our activities and on our works is part of Christian ministry. And so that's what I'm going to attempt to do a few minutes this morning. I'll probably be very bad at it because, you know, I don't do much other than preach. And so y'all will have to take me today the way I am, I guess. So have a few announcements. We have bought a CD duplicator. And CDs will cost us a whole lot less than tapes are costing us. Tapes cost us about 75 cents a piece. CDs cost us 19 cents. It costs us a dollar to mail a tape, 99 cents, but we can send a CD out for 58 cents. So we'll cut our cost in half on our tape ministry, and we'll talk more about the tape ministry here in a little while. We'll cut our cost in half by these. And so those of you who have a car that has a CD player in it, see me on your way out at the back here, and I have a CD for you of our radio programs, both the openings and closes of three of our radio programs, and you can get some very nice a cappella singing there for that. On the 4th of next month, the Grapevine congregation is coming to cater a barbecue here on our parking lot. We're going to set up tents out there, tables outside. I need all the able-bodied people that can to volunteer that morning. We're going to have to set up tables, set up chairs and stuff like that. At the back here, we're going to ask the street people, the buggy people, the people people that don't come to church, that eat out the kitchen window, to go to the back of the building back here, and we're going to have chili dogs, chips, pork and beans, fruit salad, and stuff like that for them back there. They can have a big picnic too. But in the front, if they don't come to church, they're not going to come up to the front and be a part of the picnic we're going to have right out front out here. And that is the 4th of next month. I believe it's 3 Sundays from now. So we want to remember that, please. It's a fact that I'm not worthy to be the preacher of this church, and I stand honored that the responsibility of this place has fallen upon me. When I came here 15 years ago, I sat back on the back row where Roy is sitting there. He's keeping my seat warm for me, and until I sit down, I'll go back right there to that last seat on the back row. I volunteered to serve 15 years ago on a part-time basis only, that I would take no pay for that, and it was a real safe position for me because there wasn't any controversy or anything in it. But 8 years ago, the responsibility of this place fell on me. And we don't have elders here at this church. All of our elders have died and gone to glory. So it seemed to me that the thing that we needed to do was protect the property, because we were under lawsuit at that time. Some wicked men had sued us and were trying to steal this property over a copy machine. It sounds incredible, but it's true. And we were under suit for $120,000 at that time, and we came real close to losing this whole place and the church that had been here for 110 years. And that was due to the administration that was before us. None of us had anything to do with that. We have appointed trustees here of the property. And so now we have trustees that are trustees of the property. They've been elected by the church. I'm going to ask you today to approve the same trustees that we have had and add another trustee to our group, Brother Jerry Atkins. Would you stand, please, Brother Jerry Atkins? I asked several months ago if anyone had anything against Brother Jerry Atkins and him serving as a trustee here, that you approach him, and no one has done that. And so I'm going to ask you after church today to set him apart as a trustee also. Thank you, Brother Jerry. We do this to protect the property. I'm trying not to be Pope of this place. I'm trying to be as scriptural as I can. We don't have faithful men that are qualified to be elders, but we do need to keep faithful people as trustees of this property. And so when I drop dead, I want to know that there's always going to be a Church of Christ here. And the people that are trustees in this church are dedicated to the fact that there'll always be a Church of Christ here. You're dedicated to that, aren't you, Jerry? This is our purpose, to keep the Church of Christ here where it's been for 110 years, and I hope the church will say amen to that. My ministry is, I have found 15 years ago, I figured out something. That if I preach and teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified in all Bible, God's not going to get mad at me for that. And if I take care of the poor, God's not going to get mad at me for that. And so I've written up here on your blackboard, knowledge is to know it. Wisdom is to do it. That's the difference. Now we're going to study in a little while, James 2, about faith without works is dead. Knowledge is to know to do it, what God tells you to do. Wisdom is to put that knowledge into action and actually do it. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. My ministry here has been dedicated to two things, preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified in works of kindness, mercy, charity, and benevolence to others. I can't tell you the weddings that we've done here in the last 15 years. And the funerals. How I miss Ida Jones and her raisin pie. Ida Jones, I made the mistake of telling her, boy, I sure like that raisin pie. And she cooked so many raisin pies. She brought raisin pies, I'm telling you. Raisin pies run out my nose. I ate so much raisin pie. And I didn't like raisin pies, to tell you the truth. But I found out that you put bluebell ice cream on it, it's certainly tolerable. So, how I miss Ida. And Ann Daniels, how many times I put her wheelchair in the back of that Jeep that I had. And Fred Nateri, and Ed Wren, and all the people that we've buried. When I first began preaching here, there was 62 left after the split that we'd had several years ago. Got down to about 40 of us burying people. Now I've buried all but put 8 of the 40. I used to laugh and joke about ministers, about how they hung around the church building all day. And they sit around the church building and fiddled while Rome burned. And since this job has fallen on me, I have become an administrator, and I'm telling you, I don't like it at all. I do not like it. It is a work that I won't do. I don't write checks at my house. I don't do that. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. That's stuff I have never done in my life. I've never liked it, and now I find that I have to do it. So one of the things that I've done that I found is that I'm going to have to do things I don't like to do. But there's great joy in it, brethren. I can't tell you how much joy that there is in it. I did a funeral not long ago. Susan's here for her sister. And Susan, the only Christian there, and the rest of her family and friends and everybody, none of them members of the Church of Christ, none of them faithful to God. It was a Friday afternoon, about 1 or 2 o'clock, and I thought about how bad I felt that Friday, how terrible I felt when I went to go do that funeral for Susan's sister. But do you know something? You know what I charge to do a funeral? Nothing. You know what the cost is? You're going to have to listen to Isaiah 53 when I do a funeral. I don't care who it is. I do funerals for anybody because I preach Isaiah 53 for the funeral. And that afternoon, I preached to 200 people that did not know the Lord Jesus Christ about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They got to hear it. They had to hear it. They couldn't get up and leave. They were forced to listen to it. Nowhere on earth, probably, at that time was that happening. Anywhere else, there was probably not a gospel preacher doing that. Delivering Isaiah 53 to 200 unsaved people. This is exciting stuff here, brethren. You know, since we don't have money and things like that, what we've had to do is really depend on God. 6 years ago, we began our radio ministry here. And in our broadcast area, there are 6 million people in our broadcast area, and we have no idea how large our audience is. But we know that we had to call the police here and make a police report. And Jordy got the police officer on the phone with me. And the police officer said, "Brother Kelly, you sound just like you do on the radio." Said, "I pull over and listen to you on Sunday morning, take my lunch break then." You won't believe the letters that we get. Listening right now today at the Federal Correctional Institution in Fort Worth is 12 Christians that are gathered around a radio listening to the Main Street Church of Christ. At Carswell Air Force Base, there are several women that gather together to listen to the Main Street Church of Christ. In the Hutchins Jail, there is a group of people listening to the Main Street Church of Christ. Last week, we got a call from Lubbock, Texas, that he heard our 9 p.m. radio broadcast in Lubbock, Texas. Let me tell you something about radio broadcasts. There is an area that the radio station guarantees you that you'll be picked up within that area. So all stations have to power down after 6 o'clock at night, and our station powers down to 1,000 watts at 6 o'clock at night. Radio waves are of such a nature in a normal evening, you could only get that radio program right here in Dallas, Fort Worth, Hearst, Mid-Cities, just right here real close. But because of cloud conditions and weather conditions, long-range radio waves go no telling where, and this guy picked us up in Lubbock, Texas. He called, he wants a tape every week, and so forth. The demographics for radio programming says that for every letter and phone call you get, there's 1,000 listeners. For every internet hit you get, there's 100 listeners. Well, on our radio program, we have added new songs. We've added some new songs to it. There are 4 songs in each opening of the radio program, and so I'll kind of draw you a little picture up here on the blackboard. What we do is we take an opening and we take a close. And this opening has 4 songs in it. And before each song, not the first song, but before the second song, the third song, and the fourth song, we have a space there in which there are 7 verses in the New Testament to tell us to sing. And in that radio program, we read 3 of those verses in the front of the radio program. At the end, we have an invitation song, then we have another song, then we have a talk, then we have another song, then we have the Lord's Supper, and we have a final song, and then we get the other verses that deal with singing in the close. So when you listen to 1 hour radio program from the Main Street Church of Christ, when you listen to the whole hour, you will hear every verse in the New Testament that commands us to sing. Isn't that wonderful? The songs are very good. They're taken from year-end singing. And so since we have got the CD duplicator, I have you a CD of singing here in the back as you leave. We'd like to ask our radio audience, if you will call us and ask for this Drive Time CD of a cappella singing, we'll be glad to send it to you. Call our office at 214-821-2123. Those of you that's already on our mailing list is going to get one anyway, probably. We were getting about 100 hits a week on the internet, on our home page, and we thought that that was just marvelous. 100 hits a week, and we thought, man, if we're getting 100 hits a week, there's got to be 10 times that much listening to us on the radio, or 20 times or 30 times that much listening to us on the radio. We now find out the demographics are 100 times that much listening on the radio, but we thought that we were just doing wonderful, getting 100 hits a week, 150 hits a week. One night Stephanie Vaughn and I was down there putting our new sermon in, and I see a bunch of charts and graphs and stuff like that. And I said, hold it, what is that? She said, I don't know. You see charts and graphs and things? And she said, I don't know. And I said, hey, let's print that. Let's see what that is. And we saw that we're getting 100 to 150 hits a week to the homepage. That's true. But people who come and listen to a sermon, they're marking the sermon page as their favorite, and they're coming back to the sermon page, and they're bypassing the homepage, and we didn't even know it. And we were getting about 7,000 hits a month doing that, coming, listening to sermons, and singing. Last month, we got over 11,000 hits on our website. 7,661 of them listened to sermons and singing. That's utterly amazing. Utterly amazing. If you Google Church of Christ Gospel Preaching, you'll see that Main Street Church of Christ comes up at the top. We've earned that the hard way. We didn't even have sense enough to make our heading Church of Christ Gospel Preaching. We had to earn it by a heading of Radio Broadcast Archive. So our gospel preaching has gone to the very top of Google. It's an amazing thing. I'd encourage you, those of you that's on the web, go home and look at stuff like that. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for free tape. Our tape ministry began. We were just sending a few tapes out, and last time I reported to you, we're sending 58 tapes out a week. Now we're sending over 100 tapes out a week. So if we've got 150 at worship here, sending 100 tapes out, that's another 150. We've got 2,000 a week listening on the internet. There's no telling how many is listening on the radio. So God has really blessed us with a ministry far above what we could ever imagine here. And so I want to encourage you that it's you who makes this possible. I haven't tried to raise money and funds from you and so forth and asked you for money. We have enough. You're doing enough. I thank God for what you're doing. Everything's just fine is what I'm telling you today. Our ministry is also dedicated to two things: preaching the gospel, evangelism, and taking care of the poor. The poor, we have a fellowship meal downstairs every day. And I don't know what we would do without Donnell Jackson and his wife and daughter that help us with that, and Kenneth R. Grubbs and Reba, his wife, and the White Rock Brethren and the Walnut Hill Brethren and the Grapevine Brethren that help us with that feeding. But we've had to cut expenses. We've had to change our meal some from roast beef, mashed potatoes to deli sandwiches and Mexican beans, banana pudding, and stuff like that. But it's still a good meal, and I know that you appreciate it. And I want to thank all the kitchen help, and Yvonne, and Donna, and Susan, and Ron, and Arthur, all of you that helped down there, all the servers, the Gloria De La Vega. How happy your daddy is that you've come, took his seat back, Gloria. I thank God for you. And in addition to our weekly meals that we put out on Sunday, we send about 400 meals out of here, between 350 and 400 meals. We send 100 to sick and shut-ins. We serve daily sandwiches downstairs. We're giving out about 50 sandwiches a day. People come in here that are hungry, and they come to the back door, and we give them a sandwich. We give out 3 van loads of bread each Sunday. Kenneth gets a van load, and we get a double van load from Ms. Bayer's. We've got people here visiting the sick and shut-ins. Esther Brown, I sure thank God for you, Esther, for what you're doing in visiting Brother Hubbard and Brother Tadsby. And Linda Redd, I thank you for visiting Flo and Wally for visiting. assist and flow, and it's helping, and I appreciate it. It's just things that I used to be able to do that my health is getting bad. Our office staff, and I don't know what in the world we'd do without the great staff that we have in the office. Jordy is a faithful right-hand man here. There wouldn't be any office if it wasn't for Jordy. If Jordy was the husband of one wife having faithful children and wasn't a widower, I'd put him up for elder. I'm telling you, he's a fine man, and he runs that office down there every day. And Lois Horn, the widow of one of our last elders, has come to be the office secretary. And I want y'all to know how we handle the money. We handle the money openly between us all. We pay the bills, and all of us do that, Jordy, Lois, and Walter. And so everybody is involved with that. Not any one of us, no one person handles the money around here so that there can't be any shenanigans or foolishness or anything at all. We have all volunteers here. We give Walter $10 a day per diem. You pay my lights, water, gas, and telephone, my expenses if I need to go to the doctor or something, and that is appreciated, and I really appreciate it. But you know, nothing wrong with being broke. I have two pair of shoes, and I'm fixing to retire the ones that I've got on today. But I just love wearing these old wore-out shoes. I've just about broke them in. You know, Isaiah says, "How blessed on the mountaintop are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace." It's a wonderful thing. We get all kinds of characters in this church. And they generally come around here wanting money. I had one big old bruiser in here last week wanting money and this and that and carrying on. And I told him, hold it, brother. Before you start all that speech, I'm totally immune to guilt. You can forget all about it. I'm the only preacher in Dallas, Texas with holes in his shoes. See that? I got holes in my shoes. And so there's nothing wrong with having holes in your shoes. Nothing wrong with having holes in your socks. There's something wrong with having a hole in your head and not doing what God tells us to do. Wisdom is to do it. It's not just to know it, it's to do it. Now that Sunday that our guests are coming, that the Grapevine congregation is coming, I have a real treat for you. We're going to move my coffin up right out front, out here outside the front door, and we're going to have raffle tickets for $100. You get to lie down in that coffin. We let you lie down in that coffin, and if you win the raffle, we'll just tie it on the roof of your car and you just take it on with you when you go out of here. I don't think I'll get many tickets sold, y'all. But anyway, you'll get to see the coffin. That's a wonderful thing within itself, because that has become a matter of controversy and talk around here. You know, I have people come in and they want money. You know, you've never seen them before. You'll never see them again. And they come in, they've got this sob story and they want some money. So when they come in, they got to see me, and right behind me is that coffin. And they always ask, "What's that?" And I tell them, "Well, I've got a bad heart. They wanted to give me bypass surgery on my heart, and it was going to cost the church $35,000, $40,000, $50,000, and they didn't have enough money. And so they got a real good buy on this coffin, because the coffin, it was just used. It's a used coffin. It was just used 3 days. They took the guy out of it and cremated him. And so they got a real good buy on this coffin. And what I'm doing is selling raffle tickets, trying to get enough money to get my heart fixed. And would you like to lay down in it?" And I don't get anybody that wants to lay down that coffin. That's just amazing. So we have all volunteers around here. Nobody's paid. There's none of the staff or anything. 55% of our contribution last year went to the poor. We feed 100 bums and buggy people. It's down a little now to about 50 who won't sober up and come to church. We feed them out the kitchen window. We have a van pickup service for elderly and the handicapped. I was up and rolling at 8 o'clock this morning. By 11 o'clock, I'd picked up about 20 people in the van. And so most preachers are sitting down resting between 8 and 11 o'clock. But around here, we have to work. And so I want to thank y'all for working with me. We have 3 student preachers, Eric, Jonathan, and Walter. And we have 2 students, Larry and Manuel. We have a hospital chaplain, a jail chaplain, a Purple Heart missionary of the vets. And so we've got a lot going on around here on nothing. You know, it's like that 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. The Lord fed a lot of people on 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. We ought to be able to do the same thing for Christians, and you know it's working around here. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. Visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Dash is the key for great a cappella singing and fair to middling gospel preaching. If you'd open your Bibles with me now to Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 13. If we're really Christians, we ought to make a difference in this world. Knowledge is to know it. Wisdom is to do it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherein shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to cast out and to trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light candles, but put it under the bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you know that we have people that love us at this bar across the street at the Starlight Club? There was some shyster stuff going on, and people over there wrote me a letter and told me, said, this is going on, it's not right, and I just wanted to wake you up about it. Isn't that wonderful? That's one of the qualifications to be an elder. Now, I'm not trying to be an elder, but it's one of the qualifications to be of a good report of those that are without, that are outside the church, that are not Christians. Turn with me now to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Now, I want you to remember that I've taught you before about Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, it says, the former theses have I made, O Theopolis, about all that Jesus began to both do and teach. I want you to notice the word order that Jesus began to both do and teach. He did first and then he taught. He did a miracle and he taught a lesson from it. And the same thing is found in Luke 24 verse 19, where the two men on the way to Emmaus told Jesus that Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in deed and word, do and teach, deed and word. So this is what James is telling us. James is telling us that knowledge is good, but you've got to practice the knowledge if you really want it. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Don't respect person. Because somebody has a nice ring and a big coat or a new car, that should not mean one thing in the kingdom of God. And sadly, in some congregations, it does. For if they come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and they come also a poor man with vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say, the poor, stand out there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil things? Thoughts. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Isn't that wonderful? That's us. That's us. We qualify about this verse better than anybody. We're the poorest congregation in Dallas. We're rich in faith. We believe God can do anything. We refuse to accept a TV program that we had to cut Jesus out of it. We refuse to be syndicated all over the United States on a radio broadcast if we let them sell the tapes and records and stuff and hustle in our name. We refuse that. And what's the result of it? God has given us an audience now bigger than we could have ever imagined. We already have it. This little church is kicking up more dust in our last days than probably any. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Well, in those days they did, and today sometimes they do, don't they? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name which you're called? Most very rich people are not Christians like us. But if you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, thou doest well. Notice that James refers to it as a royal law. Why is it royal? Well, it was given by God himself, and then it was affirmed by Jesus Christ in the flesh. That's why it's a royal law. It came from the king himself is where this came from. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might, and thy neighbor is thyself. That's the royal law of liberty. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. So that's true. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one part, he's guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery and yet thou killest, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So what if I don't commit adultery, I don't steal, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't dip, I don't chew, I don't do anything, but I hate my neighbor. Then I broke the whole law. Broke the whole law. What if I'm unforgiving and refuse to forgive? I broke the whole law. What if I talk about my neighbor behind his back? Then, what am I doing? I'm breaking the whole law. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. This is how we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged according to whether we love our neighbor as ourselves. And don't think that you can pull that old thing like the Jews did and ask Jesus, who's my neighbor? See, they expect an answer another Jew. But Jesus pointed out it's anybody. They're all your neighbors. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. He shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. Hey, that means that if I'm merciful, if I do it, then if I got a little niche in my armor, God's going to be merciful to me about that. If I practice this love that we're talking about, if I practice this love of God, and how can I practice love of God, well, I can show my neighbor. I can do it for my neighbor. I can do it for my enemies. What doth it profit a man, brethren, though a man say, now in your Bibles, get your pencil and circle this, a man say. That's why people don't understand the book of James. Circle that, a man say, and go down here to verse 18 and circle this, a man may say. Circle that. James is talking to a group of people. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Here on one side, somebody, now I want you to notice that James is going to use the same scriptures, the same analogies, the same prophecies from the Old Testament as Paul uses. So here on one hand, somebody takes this Pauline doctrine of justification by grace through faith, and they say, okay, I'm going to be saved by believing only. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to just believe only. I'm not going to have any corresponding action. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to know it, and I'm not going to do it. What did it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart ye in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things wherein that are needful to the body, what does it profit? We practice that here. No one has ever come here hungry and left hungry. No one has ever came here naked and left naked. And we did have one show up without any pants on one morning about 10 years ago, and we got him a pair of pants. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So you just can't say that, hey, I believe, that's all I'm going to do, I'm just going to believe. Faith without works is dead. You've got to have corresponding action. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, on the other hand, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Here on the other hand, one hand you got a guy saying, I have faith and I don't have works. On the other hand, you got a guy saying, I got works and I don't have any faith. Works can't save you either. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, the book says. Even faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. That's what we practice around here. You want to know if I believe? Well, look at what I do. I want to know if you believe, I'm going to look at what you do. Do you know something? I never did like feeding the poor. You know that? I never liked that. You know who got me started doing that? Freddie Vaughn got me started doing that. Freddie told me that when we had this building over here across the street, Freddie told me, he said, I can get a group of people together if we feed them. And Freddie and his wife, Stephanie, started getting a group of people together. And I said, if you get them together, I'll come and teach them. And so I came and I got hooked. That's the way it works. So if you hope to be a preacher, you hope to be a minister, you hope to be God's servant in life, start doing some things in your ministry that you don't want to do, that you don't like to do. Take the widows home. Make sure that everybody in this building eats before you take a bite. You make sure of stuff like that. God will see that. Most people won't, but God will see it. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. tremble. And that word there in the Greek is shudder. They are scared to death. Their knees knock at the prospect of the judgment that's coming upon them. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith is wrought with his works, and by his works was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled that saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So you have to add works to your faith. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so we thank you for this opportunity this morning to present to you the ministry of this congregation. We would encourage you that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 15 says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. The Bible teaches that if you believe that gospel, there's no reason for you to be lost. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible teaches that we need to have faith to be saved, for without faith it's impossible to please him, the Hebrew writer tells us. We need to confess Christ is Lord. Jesus said, you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. And we need to be willing to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want to become a Christian this morning, you're going to have an opportunity. You can just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you have sin in your life, you can come and confess of that also. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late. If you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?